Mention the names Maverick, Goose and Iceman, and for many the Top Gun theme starts playing in their head. But not everyone takes the next step of signing up to the Air Force to become their very own version of an elite fighter pilot. Pierre-Jean Frison did just that, after injury had prevented him from pursuing his dream of being a top footballer. Sport was a significant part of Pierre-Jean's life until one rainy and windy night, while returning to base on his motorcycle, a gust of wind caught him, and he skidded into the security rail of the Central Reservation. He lay pinned down by the barriers for more than 20 minutes until the emergency services arrived. By the time they had freed him, it was too late to save his right leg. Over the next 2 months, Pierre-Jean underwent many operations, and it was at this stage he thought that his life was over. He felt that he could no longer take part in sport. On reflection, he says that he was wrong. Today, as the news anchor for French 3 TV channel, Pierre-Jean has the opportunity to reflect on the twists and turns of his life. Had it not been for his girlfriend, he may never have found golf and the success that he has had, both individually and collectively. When I asked him about the advice that he may give someone who found themselves in a similar situation on a cold, dark night, he had no hesitation when replying, "It's not as tough as you think at that moment to live with your disability." Full of great wisdom, this conversation hit a hole in one when he said, "Try not to be the guy you want, but instead, be the guy you are." Enjoy this conversation with Pierre-Jean Frison. And it's very good of you to make the time to speak to me today. I know you're very busy, so thank you for that.
It's a pleasure for me too.
And I'm just going to go through a few questions with you, and just to try and get a bit of a background about Pierre-Jean is. Try and get a bit of a background. So, first and foremost, I know that you played football as a youngster, and I think you played for a Bundesliga team, if I'm not mistaken. How did that start? How did that come about?
My father was a military, so he went in Germany for his work when I was 15 years old. And when we came in Karlsruhe, that was the city where we were living, I tried to play in the best team in the city. So I got a test with the Karlsruhe Sport Club, and then I did manage to go across this test, and so I played with the best youngest junior team of the city, so with two players who after that become international player. I mean, Oliver Kahner, you don't know if you know.
Yes, yes.
The great goalkeeper of the German national team.
Yes.
And so I played with him. And I played with another player I played with Nemeth Scholl too.
Okay.
So it was two great players of my team. But I did not manage to go further because I got an injured knee injuries during my first the end of my first season with this team. So after that it was difficult to go across because I wanted to be a professional football player when I was a kid.
Yeah.
But after that I know it was over for me after the knee injury.
And what position did you play?
I play in the middle field too.
Okay. I know you played a lot of sports because I've seen some photographs of you with a surfboard.
Yeah.
I've seen a photograph of you with ski.
I always liked the sports. When I was a kid, I tried to practice all the sports that I can. I was a quite good swimmer with a club, and with the school I played volleyball, handball, track and field, of course, all the sport that I can windsurf, all the sport that I can practice, I did it. And that's why I like all the sports now.
So it was very much a part of your life.
It was very important, and it's now very important too.
Now, I know you said that you wanted to be a professional footballer, but once you figured out that that wasn't going to happen, was there anything else that you wanted to do to make a living when you left school?
Yeah, I always wanted to be a professional football player, always.
Right.
Till the time I was injured, I thought it could be possible. But after that, I got to find something else to focus on. So I wanted after that to be a fighter pilot in the French Air Force.
Right, okay. And your father, you said, was from the military. Was your father in the Air Force as well?
No, he was in the Army.
Okay.
But I know the Army because of my father, but I didn't know the Air Force. But as you know, at this moment, that was the moment of the famous American movie Top Gun, you know?
Right.
And,
right.
Of course, when you see Tom Cruise, you want to be as him.
Yeah, exactly.
That's why I wanted to be a fighter pilot.
And did you have a fascination with flying?
Yeah, of course. As all the boys of my age at this moment, I was thinking about the speed, the feelings, the acceleration. And that's the part who wants to attract me in this job.
Yeah, and so you became a student in the French
student
Air Force.
Pilot during a year and a half.
Yeah.
Till my accident.
And what happened with the accident? How did that happen? And what were the consequences of that?
Yeah, I was riding a motorcycle. It was a rainy and windy night. I was going back to my base, and then the wind swept with the motorcycle.
Yeah.
And I go under a security rail.
Ah, okay.
Then I was blocked under that with my motorcycle. That was the road, my leg, the motorcycle, the other leg, and then the security rail. So I was blocked under that. I stay like that something like 20 minutes before the emergency crew came. And then they cut my leg at the first operation because it was too late to save it because there was no blood in it. During the time I was blocked under the security rail. And then after that, I did get something like 20 operations during the 2 first months in hospital.
Uh-huh.
And then I thought my life was over because I thought I could not do sport anymore, but I was wrong.
Right, yes, exactly. Yes, yes, yes. And
yeah, because you know, when I was a student pilot, I do sports every day. I got a very passionate job with feelings. I told you with acceleration, speed, and the crew and the teammate. I don't know how to say it, but with my friend, we were very close.
Yes.
So when I got my accident, I lost all these things, and I thought it was now a bad life that was starting. But hopefully I was wrong.
Yes, absolutely. And so I know that then after your time in the military, in the Air Force, you then started you enrolled as a student to be a journalist in Bordeaux. And had you had any inclination to get into journalism before your accident?
Not really. I think it's something like a hazard because I become journalist because after my hospitality, I get in I restart studies in a scientist way. Yeah, because I was quite easy with science, but it was not a good way for me after my accident. And hopefully there was a building close from the one where I study, where there was the journalism school. So I say, oh, it could be a good job. So I get the exam and I get it. So that's why I become journalist. It was not very very conscious for me to be that, but when I started to study this job, I thought it was a good choice too. Because first of all, I want to be a sport journalist, because as you know now, I always want to be, I always like sport.
Yeah.
And when I started the studies, I thought I'm going to be a sport journalist. I was thinking it was something like a spare. Yeah, it was a spare for me to talk about sport instead of practicing, you know?
Yes, yes. And so you then got from journalism and somehow you transitioned into working the TV. And I know that you became the anchorman for a TV sports program. That must have been kind of a dream almost, I guess, doing your journalism, doing it in sport. And you worked for France 3, I think, if I'm not mistaken. And that was only just a couple of years after becoming a student journalist.
Yeah, yeah.
So how did that happen?
Yeah, I was quite lucky because after I get my diploma, the France 3, where I spent some time during my studies, was looking for someone to do the sports news, and as I knew them, they called me if I want to pass the test. So I did a test with them. And they say, "But it's okay. We're gonna work with you." So it was only 3 months after I get my graduate. So it was quite lucky.
Very quick.
I knew that.
Very quick.
Yeah, very
as well.
Quick. Special to be an anchorman, because normally you start as a reporter, and after that you can be a anchorman. But it was quite easy with speaking on face of the camera. So I think that's why I got the job.
And you obviously had the passion for sports, so you would be interested in all the sports.
Yeah, yeah, of course. I wanted to do it in sport, and that's why I was so easy with my beginning. I know sports. I know the feeling of being practicing sports. So that I think it was one of the key points for me to get this job.
And do you think that to some degree this was in part responsible for you getting the job as the anchorman in television news, because that was your next step within the same company?
It was in the same company, and I don't know how to explain that, but normally the best job for most of the journalists is to do the news. For me, the best job was to do the sports. Right. But after 6 or 7 years doing the sports, I needed something new, I think something like that. And my chief asked me if I want to do the news. So I say yes, because it's a proposition you cannot put it off.
Yes.
I don't know if it's the right word.
Yes,
you cannot say no to that proposition.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's why I did it. And now it's something like 10 years that I do this job.
And in that job, I can imagine that you meet some fascinating people.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, of course. You meet some political people, high level. You meet some actress, some important people, a lot of them. And especially what is important for me in this job is it means that you always change the thing you have to learn about. I don't know if it's clear for you.
Yes.
It's always different. Yeah, some days we have to speak with a political man or to speak about political, and the other after that you have to speak about a crime scene. After that, a social problem. So it's very cool for your mind. I don't know.
Yeah,
you
very
always
broad
learn
base.
Something.
Yeah, it's a very broad base. Lots of things to know.
Yeah.
I imagine also, because obviously everybody knows your face, everybody knows your name.
Yeah.
So
in my region, yeah.
So you must have a lot of people that see you on the street and say hello, and is that the way it works?
Yeah, yeah, of course. It's quite cool. Most of the people don't speak to you to aggress or to say something bad. When people come to speak to you, it's always to say something nice. So it's quite easy to be as famous as I am. I put the famous.
Yeah. No, but you're going to be in front of lots of people every evening on the TV. So
yeah, it's 200,000. That's it.
Yeah, so it's a lot of people. It's a lot of people.
Yeah, that's a lot of people. I mean, to do the news in front of them and as to play your first shot, a first tee shot.
Well, it's a bit different than the first tee.
I'm less nervous on the studio than on the start.
Exactly. And you came to golf at a relatively late age, because I think you were, if I'm not mistaken, early 30s when you started to play. So what was it about golf that made you think that it might be the game for you?
At the beginning, I didn't know, because I did practice golf with my ex-girlfriend, the girlfriend I guess at this moment. And when I started, I didn't think it was the sport for me. But when I play, I thought my handicap was not really a handicap for me to play. And that was the first sport I practiced after my accident where I can find this feeling, you know?
Right.
I was really practicing. When I want to play football, tennis, I cannot run, so it was over. When I swim, I just swim with my arms. So that was the first sport that I find where I can play as normal people.
Okay.
So I was not very easy, but it was not so difficult. So I tried with my girlfriend at this moment, and after that, during the first year, I did not practice a lot. But after that, I start to put my mind on it, and then I was catched by the sport.
Yep.
Because now golf is a really, really, really a big passion for me.
Yes.
Really.
And was it your girlfriend that got you started to play then, or was it somebody else that actually said, give golf a try?
No, not really. It was really a hazard too, because I practiced the golf. Because my girlfriend at this moment was practicing when she was a kid, and she wants to do it again. And that's why I practiced with her. I started the golf with her. So I was not very attracted by golf at this moment, but when I tasted it, it was a new life for me.
And have you had any coach or anybody to help you to try and reach your potential as a golfer?
Yeah, not really, because I started to progress to up my level alone. During something like 3 or 4 years. And after that, I contacted Nino Uraba, as you know.
I know Nino.
Of the French national team. And then he say you get the level to get in the French national team. And that was at this moment that I started to receive coach advices. First with the national golf trainer. First of all, it was Alain Pouet. After that, I don't remember his name, but it was Christian something. And after that, of course, Fred Cupillard. And Fred Cupillard is the coach that do me as I am today.
Right. And
yeah,
I mean,
he gives me the most advice that I get in golf.
Through that whole period of learning, is there anything particularly, or is there any specific moments on the golf course that are particularly difficult for you?
Yeah, all the shots when you are in declivity. I mean, if I get the ball under my feet,
yep.
It's very difficult for me because of my prosthetic leg.
Yep.
When I shot, the climbing will for me put me down
right.
In the front of me,
yep.
And when it's in the backyard, it's the same.
Right, okay.
You understand?
Yes, I do, yes.
So declivity is very good, very tough for us.
Yeah, so the undulations on the course, that make it a bit more difficult when the ball's above your feet or below your feet, which is understandable with
exactly.
A prosthetic. Exactly.
Yeah,
and
that's it.
What have you learned about yourself by playing golf?
A lot. I didn't think it was possible to find a sport that is such a mirror of your personality. I mean, if you're nervous on life, you're nervous on golf. If you're cool on life, you're cool on golf. If you if you're an aggressive people, you will be aggressive on the golf. I mean, it's a very very. I practice a lot of sports, but I never found a sport as a psychological pressure as golf. You know what I mean? It's always something like you're alone in front of your ball. You play against players, certainly, but you first of all you play against you. You play against golf course, of course, but you play first of all against you. When you know you can do a good shot, you know you can do a bad shot too. And I think the golf learn you to accept that you cannot be the best you want to be always, you know?
Yeah.
I think the good golfer is the one who knows. He can do a good shot and a bad shot, and when he did a bad shot, he's not saying, I'm not a bad player. He knows that bad shot happens, especially in golf, and that's it. That's the point, the clue point for me to be a good golfer. If you know you can do a bad shot and do a good shot with the same feeling,
yeah,
you can be a good player.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it's the only sport for me that you can find something like that as pregnant as that.
I think what you said earlier is very true as well, is that golf is very much a mirror of how you are as an individual. And we often say that it's almost—it's very difficult to have a life and a golf life that are totally separate, especially if you're a good player, especially if you're a top competitor.
That's it. I think that the clue point for the good player, well, not for us because we are—it's just a sport. It's not a job for us. But I think for the professional, if they cannot manage to accept the bad shot, it's not possible to be a good player. If you don't know that you can play bad, that's a sentence I could write on above my bed, because I get to learn a lot of
I think
about that.
I think when you say you're just an average player, that's not fair, because I know that you're a very good player. And
but not as good as I wanted to be.
Okay. Nobody ever is as good as they want to be. But you won your first European title, I think, if I'm not mistaken, in Italy, and that was probably 4 or 5 years ago. And that was probably only as well after 8 or 9 years after taking up the sport. It was a European level title. And you were recently part of the European team for France that won the EGA European Team Championship for golfers with disability. So can you tell me how you feel about the individual and the team elements of golf? Because, of course, everybody says that golf's an individual game, but nevertheless, in this particular case, you were playing as part of a team. So how did you see that?
For me, it was very, very, very much strong playing with my friends than winning alone. Because when I won in Italy, really, it was a surprise for me, because there was two players that should win this tournament, but they fall down. They both fall down, so I win. It was really. I think they lost the tournament, and I did not win it. You know, I win it because they lost. Okay, but for the I was very happy, but very surprised. But it was a big emotion for me, but not as for the European Team Championship, because of my. As you know, I love the sports, the team sports. As you know, I practice football and I practice a lot of them. And when I found this feeling of being a team in the golf, it's the most important moment of my little career in golf, because I play with friends. My teammates are friends. We play with the coach. He's our friend too. There was a lot of pressure because, as you know, we won just after the surprise. I don't know the real
world.
The
last player. Yeah.
We were together with the Spanish team. So it was very, very emotionally for me. I have to to say that I cried after that. So it was very. Very, very important for me to win it with my friends.
Yeah, I mean, it's a big deal.
Very,
I mean,
much,
I think yes, for France to win the first EGA European Team Championship, that's it's a tremendous feat and well done.
Especially as you say, it was the first tournament with the EGA label and with all the team together on the same golf course. I think it's going to be a great memory for me for all my life.
Yeah, and tell me, what does golf mean to you then, Pierre-Jean?
Now it's something that I could not put a part of my life because, as I told you, it's something like a mirror of your personality. As you know, I love the sport, so it's a real sport. Some people thought it's not a sport, but it's a real sport. And after that, I love the competition. And now I can practice it with a European competition. I know it's an important part of my life, and maybe too important part of my life, because my wife told me sometimes that I always speak about golf, always want to practice, much more than my job.
Ah, well, there you go. Tell me about your heroes or your role models that you might have had when you were coming through as an early golfer.
As I'm a late starter of golf, I did not get very much heroes, but now, of course, as everybody, I admire Tiger Woods, of course, because of his career and maybe for his comeback, I hope so.
Yeah.
And after that, as you know, maybe French have a special feeling with their nationality. So I like the French players. I'm like Alexander Lévy and Dubuisson, of course, Dubuche, as you know.
Yes.
but not as hero, maybe as a model.
It's going to be a big thing this year, of course, with the Ryder Cup in France.
Yeah, I hope one of them will be in the European team.
I'm sure. And I'm sure that all of the French nation will be behind all of those players because you've got some really, really good players there. And it'd be nice to see one or two of them in the team. Are there any goals or objectives that you might have in golf that you'd be prepared to share with us?
Of course, I want to be a better player, but I don't want to have some goals or objectives because I just want to be a better golf player. And I think for me, because I sometimes I put too much pressure on me. So I just want to be a good player, to have pleasure on the golf course, and to be more concentrated, to avoid some stupid mistake as I did during the European Team Championships, because I make a ball error. I played the Spanish ball during a hole in so I just want to be better on my play, better in my head, to be a good player. That's it. I don't want to say I want to win this, I want to be better on my driving. No, I want to be a better player, a better mind, and less mistake.
Right.
Because that's my problem. I can be a good player, but I can do some stupid mistakes. And sometimes after the 18th hole, I say, how can I do this? It's not possible. But unfortunately, I did it.
Well, I was actually at that championship that we mentioned earlier, the team championship, and I actually saw you play one of the best shots that I saw in all of the 3 days.
I remember it. You're hitting in back of the green,
the back of the eighth green, bad lie,
and a big climbing.
That was an incredible shot that you played. It was absolutely awesome. I don't care who was playing that shot; nobody would have played that shot better. So, out of all the things that you've learned from playing golf, are there one or two or three takeaways that you might be able to think that other people can learn from?
Yeah. Well, the first thing I could say is not to be the guy you want, but to be the guy you are. When you play golf and you want to play above your level, it's always a bad future for you.
Right.
That's it. That's the real point for me.
Yeah.
I think the most important thing is to know yourself as good as you can, not to be to want to play better than you can, and not to think you are better than you are. You know.
Yes.
To find the that's why it's very difficult to play a good golf, because you are always on the knife. I don't know, it's the real world. You know what I mean?
Yes, yes, absolutely.
You can fall down thinking you are too bad, and you can fall down because you think you are too good.
Right, exactly right. And it's about being in the present, and it's about...
Yeah, being in the present, that's it.
Yeah.
Here and now.
Yeah, here and now. I mean, that's the only place you can play. The future is something that's a promise, and the past is a memory, and you just got to get on with what you're doing right now. Anything that you might do to make the game more friendly for golfers with disability?
I think golf is one of the sports where disabled player can find joy and pleasure without any adjustment. That's why I like it, because I play most of the time with normal people, not disabled player. And I like it because I play the same sport as them, and I can beat them with the same rule. And that's the point I like, too, in the golf sport.
Yeah, and so, I mean, you play most of your golf, I guess, with regular golfers.
Yeah, of course.
Day to day, weekend, you play just the normal members at the golf club, yeah.
Yeah. And I like to play with them because of when they start with me, they look me from above, because when you are disabled, people, it's not bad from them, but they always thought, oh, poor boy, got a leg amputee, something like that. And when we play golf together, after that, they look me, most of them, from the back to the top, because I beat them on the golf course.
Exactly.
So I like the way it changed their point of view.
Yeah, and it's something that we've talked about quite a lot, is that if there was more players with disability in the golf clubs, I think that would have a very good effect on the golf club itself.
Yeah, of course.
Because they would have a completely different understanding. Before I go into some general questions, is there anything that you'd like to discuss with me that until now we've not touched upon?
Not really, Anthony.
Great. So, well, in that case, we'll go on to just a couple more questions.
Your interview was good.
Okay. Oh, thank you. That's great, coming from somebody who works in TV. That's a massive honour for me. I'm going to go to bed tonight very satisfied.
You can do it.
And what piece of golf equipment gives you the most joy?
I like my lob wedge, as you know, as a Latin player.
I noticed.
Yeah, you noticed it, because as you know, Latin player like the show and the spectacular shot. The English people or Scottish people like the efficient shot.
Right.
For me, I like the spectacular shot, so that's why I like my wedge. Sorry.
Yeah, it's very good. And if you could play a four ball with anybody, now you don't have to know that they play golf. Let's just assume that everybody in the world plays golf, and they could be dead or alive. Who would your three playing companions be?
First of all, I would like to play with a girl who is professional golfer, because I like the way the girl play golf. It's more close to us than the pro the man pro.
Right.
So I would like to play with a pro girl. I don't know the name, but. Any of them.
Yeah.
I would like to play with a philosopher. I don't know which one, maybe Nietzsche or someone else, just because of the psychological point of the golf. You know what I mean?
I would like to see someone who read or speak about the psychological to be confronted to the sport of golf. Maybe in Ditch. And after that, in France, we have many ex-sport practitioner, professional sport practitioner, as Yannick Noah, do you know?
I do, yes. Yeah, well, I don't know him, but I know the name, yes.
Yannick Noah is playing golf now, and I get the chance to play with a lot of ex-rugby player, ex-football player during some tournaments. During some golf tournaments, but I would like to play with Yannick Noah because I know he's a funny guy, and he was a very good tennis player, and I would like to play golf with him to find to look for his spirit, because he was a very fighting spirit during on the court of tennis.
Yes,
and I would like to know how he's comporting, how he's feeling on the golf course.
Right. I mean, that's a pretty good group of people there that you mentioned.
Yeah, but impossible.
Yeah, well, you never know, you never know.
Yeah.
Just before we finish, I've just got another question which I think is pretty important, which is, if you could magically be with somebody who has acquired a similar disability to yourself, or maybe somebody else in the future was to slip on the road, on the motorbike, goes underneath a fence, and, you know, at that moment, what advice would you want to offer them?
I would like to say something like, it's not as tough as you think now.
Right.
Living with your disability. Because as I told you before, when you get some accident, you don't know anything about disability. You thought your life, you think your life is over. And finally, it's not the reality. So I would like to give him this advice, because I didn't get it when I was in the hospital, and I got to find it. And I think it's a good moment for when you are very down, to have someone to tell you that be cool, guy. Your life is not over. You can have some more fun in your life, some more love, some more passion. And that's what happened to me. And I want to say it's not as tough as you thought at this moment, as you think at this moment.
Just tell me on that one, just before we finish, how long do you think it took you to come to that realization?
Something like 1 year and a half.
Right.
Yeah, because during this time I was in the hospital, then in the re-education center, and after the re-education center, I was almost in a positive way, but when I get my when I get back to studies, that was the moment where I realized that I'm disabled, yes, but I can have a normal life, or quite normal life, with all the friends of the girl. Nobody never tell me, oh, you're a disabled people, you know?
Right.
It's something very important, I think, that you feel good with your body, even with disability. Then people, the other people look like you, looks you as a normal person.
Yes.
You feel it.
Yes.
If you feel normal, or maybe different, but normal, people look you as a normal player, as a normal person.
Well, absolutely, and look, it's been fantastic to speak with you today. I know that you're very busy, and you've given us plenty of time.
It was a pleasure.
And if somebody wanted to reach you, Pierre-Jean, how could they find you?
They can find me with my email address. You can put it on the article if you want.
Okay, perfect. Thank you very much. And look, hopefully we'll see you very soon in one of the Edgar tournaments.
Yeah,
and,
I hope so too, Tony.
And again, thank you very much.
And
I'm sorry.
I apologize for my English level, but I did not practice a few months, the last few months. So if you do not practice, you forgot all the words and everything like that.
No. Trust me, your English is way, way, way better than my French. So listen, good to speak
to you.
Thanks a lot. Take care.
See you. Take care.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.